The Bible says they came together on the first day of the week for this feast. That's why they were here. That's why we're here. And though Paul was there, though the great apostle Paul was there, Paul preached, but that's not why they came together. It's this feast. And so we want in this service to think about what this feast is all about. And we've done all of the other things that the Lord expects us to do on this day, to pray and to sing and to give, to talk about His Word, even as we shall continue to do. And we shall continue to sing a few more songs. But remember our memory verse. God is spirit. He's not flesh and blood. And those who proskuneo, we've talked about that word, who bow and kiss the ground in the direction of deity. And is there any time we do that greater than this? When we eat that which is His body and drink that which is His blood, is there anything we do more important and more reverential that more emphatically shows us bowing and kissing toward heaven because of what He's done for us? And so we have brought in this service a compiling of the writings of Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, and we shall read the Bible. For when we read His Word, it's God speaking to us. Let us turn our attention and focus for the rest of this service to the very death of Jesus. We want to walk with Jesus in the last months of His life, the last days of His life, the last hours of His life, and the last minute of His life. And then we want to eat this solemn feast that He has ordained. Jesus knew that He was going to die. There was reality to it. He was going to die an unbelievably horrible death. And the Bible says He told His disciples. From that time, Jesus began to show to His disciples and began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, that He must go to Jerusalem to be rejected and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and to be killed and to be raised the third day. He spoke this word openly. And Peter took Him aside and began to rebuke Him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you." But when He turned around and looked at His disciples, He rebuked Peter, saying, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." Brethren, may we be mindful of the things of God. Jesus knew about the importance of focusing on His death, the very thing that we're doing. Listen to His words to His disciples about letting these things about His death sink deeply into our ears, into our inner being, into our soul, into our spirit, as we worship Him in spirit. While they were staying in Galilee, Jesus said to them, "Let these words sink down into your ears, for the Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill Him, and after He was killed, He'll rise the third day." And they were exceedingly sorrowful. He described the wretched death which lay before Him. Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples aside on the road and said to them, "We're going to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles. They will mock him and insult him and scourge him and spit on him and crucify him. And the third day he'll rise again." Remember, it's these events that Jesus said to those disciples, "Let these things sink deeply down into your ears." And that's what we need to do. May we never forget this. As you meditate on these matters, one question must come to mind again and again. Why? Why would God send him? Why? Why would he endure all of these things? Why? There's only one answer. Let us answer it from the depths of our souls as we sing together.
Let's just sing verse 2. Think about these words as we sing verse 2 of this song.
Why did my Savior come to us?
As we think about this second verse. Quintavius, if you could come and take Buzz's place, maybe Buzz can figure out our technical difficulties. 784, let's think about verse number 2.
Before he ever came to this earth, what lay before him. He knew who would betray him. "Have I not chosen you? And yet one of you hath a devil," he said. Jesus knew not only the betrayer, He knew the details of all that he was to endure. And so he said, when Jesus had said these things, he was troubled in spirit. Remember, we worship him in spirit. He was troubled in spirit and testified and said, most assuredly, I say unto you, one of you will betray me, one of you who eats with me. Behold, the hand of the betrayer is with me at this table. Then the disciples looked at one another, perplexed about whom he spoke. They were exceedingly sorrowful, and each of them began to say to him, Lord, is it I? He answered and said, it is one of the 12. He who dips his hand with me in this dish will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes, and it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man to have never been born. It is to whom I shall give a piece of bread when I've dipped it. And having dipped the bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And Judas, who was betraying him, answered and said, Rabbi, is it I? And Jesus said, you've said it. Now, after the piece of bread, Satan entered him. And Jesus said to him, what you do, do quickly. He not only knew the betrayer, he knew what every one of them would do. He knew that that night all of them would forsake him. And he gave specific details of their action, especially that of Peter's. Then Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I've been raised, I will go to Galilee. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus said, where I'm going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterwards. And Peter said to him, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake. And Jesus answered him, will you lay down your life for my sake? Simon, Simon, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you like wheat. But I've prayed for you that your faith shall not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. But Simon said to him, Lord, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death. Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. And Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you today, this night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times that you may know me, or that you know me. Most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster will not crow until you have denied me three times. Peter spoke more vehemently. If I have to die, I will not deny you. And they all said likewise. They meant it when they said, if we have to die for you, we'll not deny you. They meant it when they spake of their love for him. But what he faced alone. All alone. Even as these very men slept.
Tis midnight and on olive's brow the star is dim and lately shone. Tis midnight in the garden now the sun.
before he went to Gethsemane, he ordained this feast before us. He promised to be with us as we eat it. Imagine him as he passed the bread and the cup to them on that night. And then later in the service, as the bread and the cup is passed to you, imagine that it's Jesus inviting you to eat with him. The Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper and gave thanks and gave it to them, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he come. Surely I say to you, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God, my Father's kingdom." And they all drank of it. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, that as they shared in that bread and that fruit of the vine, even so do we, discerning his body. But leaving that upper room, he goes to Gethsemane. He went out with his disciples as he was accustomed over the brook Kidron to the Mount of Olives, where there was a garden named Gethsemane, which he and his disciples entered. When he came to the place, he said to them, "Sit here while I go and pray over there. Pray that you enter not into temptation." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, James and John, began to be sorrowful and troubled and deeply distressed. And he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." He withdrew from them about a stone's throw, and he went a little farther, and he knelt down and fell on the ground, fell on his face, and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. All things are possible for you. If it's your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Not my will, but yours be done." Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more fervently. His sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground. When he arose from the prayer, he came to his disciples and found them sleeping from sorrow. And he said to them, "Why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation." And he said, "Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." A second time he went and prayed. The same word saying, "Oh, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Your will be done." And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. So he left them and went again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. And when he came to the disciples the third time, he said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? The hour is at hand. The Son of Man is being betrayed in the hands of sinners. Rise up, let us be going. My betrayer is at hand."
Night with
know this story too well. Yet try to imagine being there and witnessing the things as they happened. Those apostles were eyewitnesses. And when they ate this bread and drank this cup, from their memory of experience, they could remember Him. And yet, if we let these things sink deep into our ears, into our hearts, deep into our spirits, while we were not there, from our remembrance of listening to God, we can recall these events. Judas, who betrayed Him, also was there. For Jesus often met there with His disciples, and Judas, having received a detachment of troops and officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, came there with lanterns and torches and weapons. And immediately, while He was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12 with a great multitude, with swords and clubs, came from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Therefore, Jesus, knowing all things would come upon Him, went forward and said to them, "Whom are you seeking?" And they answered, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said unto them, "I am He." And Judas, who betrayed Him, also stood with Him. Now when He said to them, "I am He," they drew back and fell to the ground. Then He asked them again, "Whom are you seeking?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And Jesus answered, "I have told you that I am He. Therefore, if you seek Me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which He spoke, 'Of those whom you have given to Me, I have not lost a one.'" Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "Whomever I kiss, he's the one. Seize him." Jesus said to him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" As soon as he had come, immediately he went up to Jesus and said, "Greeting, Rabbi," and he kissed him. "Friend, why have you come?" Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. When those around saw what was going to happen, they said, "Lord, we will strike with the sword, shall we?" And suddenly Peter stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus answered and said, "Permit even this." And He touched the ear, and healed him. Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Shall I not drink of the cup which My Father has given Me? Or do you not think that I cannot now pray the Father, and He will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? But then how would the Scriptures be fulfilled that it must happen thus?" And in that hour Jesus said to the multitudes, to the chief priests, to the captains of the temples and the elders who were come out against Him, "Have you come out against a robber with swords and clubs to take Me? I was daily with you teaching in the temple, and you did not seize Me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness." All this was done that the Scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook Him and fled. The detachment of troops and the captains and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound Him. And now bound, they led Him to trials of mockery. The first trial before Annas.
The high priest then asked Jesus about His disciples and His doctrine, and Jesus said unto him, "I spoke openly to the world. I always taught in the synagogues and in the temple, where the Jews always meet, and in secret I have said nothing. Why do you ask Me? Ask those who have heard Me what I have said to them. Indeed, they know what I said." And when He had said these things, one of the officers who stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, "Do you answer the high priest like that?" Jesus answered him, "If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why do you strike me?" Then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas the high priest.
He was then taken to Caiaphas and was mocked again. His humiliation was even greater, as was his suffering.
They led Jesus away to Caiaphas the high priest. And with them assembled were the chief priests, the elders, and the whole council, who sought false testimony against Jesus to put him to death. But they found none. Even though many false witnesses came forward, they found none, for many false witnesses came out against him, but their testimonies did not agree. But at last two false witnesses came forward and bore false witness against him, saying, "This fellow said, 'I am able to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days.' We heard him say, 'I will destroy this temple made with hands, and with 3 days I will build another one without hands.' But not even then did their testimony agree." And the high priest arose, stood up in the midst, and said, "Do you answer nothing? What is it these men testify against you?" But he kept silent and answered nothing. Again the high priest asked him, saying to him, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." Jesus said to him, "It is as you said, 'I am.' Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore their clothes, saying, "He has spoken blasphemy. What further need do we have of witnesses? Look now, you have heard his blasphemy. What do you think?" They answered and said, "He is deserving of death." And they all condemned him to be deserving of death. Now the men who held Jesus mocked him and beat him. Then some began to spit on him and to blindfold him. Then they spat in his face and beat him. And having blindfolded him, others struck him with the palms of their hands, saying, "Prophesy to us, Christ, who is the one who struck you?" And then the officers struck him with the palms of their hands. And many other things they blasphemously spoke against him.
Time does not permit us to talk about Peter's denial, but let your mind recall those three times Peter denied him. Peter who said, "Thou art the Christ." Peter who said, "Lord, to whom shall we go?" Peter who said, "Though all are offended with you, I'll not leave you." Now curses and swears, denying even knows him. He's before Caiaphas. He'd been before Annas. It'd been a long night. And now early on that Friday morning, he faces the entire Jewish council, the Sanhedrin.
When morning came, as soon as it was day, immediately the elders of the people, both chief priests and scribes, came together and led him into their council and plotted against Jesus to put him to death, saying, "If you are the Christ, tell us." And he said to them, "If I tell you, you will by no means believe. And if I also ask you, you will by no means answer me or let me go. Hereafter the Son of Man will sit on the right hand of the power of God." Then they all said, "Are you then the Son of God?" And so he said to them, "You rightly say that I am." And they said, "What further testimony do we need? For we have heard it ourselves from his own mouth." Then the whole multitude arose, and when they had bound him, they led Jesus from Caiaphas to the praetorium, delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. And it was early in the morning.
He had to be taken to Pilate, because the Romans never gave the Jews the right to put a man to death. He was marched through the streets to appear before Pilate. Pilate went out to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" And they answered and said, "If he were not an evildoer, we would have not delivered him up to you." And Pilate said, "You take him and judge him according to your law." The Jews said to him, "It's not lawful for us to put anyone to death, that the sayings of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying the death that he would die." They began to accuse him, saying, "We found this fellow perverting the nation, forbidding to pay taxes to Caesar, saying that he himself is the Christ, that he is a king." And Pilate entered the praetorium again and called Jesus and said, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus stood before Pilate, and Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And he answered and said to them, "It is as you say." He then also added, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight that I should not be delivered from the Jews. But my kingdom is not from here." Pilate said to him, "Are you then a king?" Jesus said, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I've come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth." The Bible says that Pilate went out to the chief priest and the crowd, saying, "I find no fault in this man." The chief priests and elders accused him of many things, but Jesus answered nothing. Pilate said to him, "Do you answer nothing? See how many things they testify against you." Jesus answered nothing, not a word, so that Pilate marveled greatly. But they were the more fierce, saying, "He stirs up the people, teaching them throughout all Judea, beginning in Galilee, even to this place." Now when Pilate heard he was from Galilee, he sent him to Herod. Herod hoped to see some miracle from Jesus. Herod, with his men of war, treated him with contempt and mocked him. Having been treated with contempt and mocked before Herod, even wearing the regal robe of the Jewish king Herod, he then was brought back to Pilate. You know the story. You know the story of how that notorious prisoner named Barabbas, who had been chained with his fellow rebels, committed murder in the rebellion, and how spineless Pilate said, "It is the custom to free a man. Whom do you want, Jesus or Barabbas?" And when they ask for Barabbas, Jesus says, "What then shall I do with this man Jesus?" And in your mind and imagination, hear that courtyard filled with the mob shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him, crucify him." He was scourged, beaten, having been smitten with the hands of men. They put a robe on him, put a crown of thorns on his head and a reed in his hand. They bowed the knee before him and mocked him and began to salute him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." They spat on him, and they took the reed and struck him on the head and spat on him, and bowing the knee mockingly, they worshiped him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe, put on his own clothes, and led him out to be crucified. They bound the hands of Jesus in the garden where he prayed.
precious head, they placed a crown of thorns. They laughed and said, "Behold the King." They struck him and they cursed him and mocked his holy name. All alone he suffered everything.
Leaving Pilate's hall, he was led outside the city. The city that once was called by God the Holy City. And there he was crucified.
And when they had mocked him, they took the purple robe off of him, put his own clothes on him, and led him away to be crucified. They took Jesus and led him away, he bearing his own cross. As they led him away, they laid hold of a certain man, Simon or Cyrenian, the father of Alexander and Rufus, as he was coming out of the country and passing by. Him they compelled to bear his cross, and on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. There were also two others, criminals led with him to be put to death. And they brought him to the place called Golgotha, which is translated place of a skull. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, they gave him sour wine mingled with gall to drink. But when he had tasted it, he would not drink.
He refused the gall. Do you know why? When gall was taken, the effect was to stupefy the senses. It was often given to those who were crucified to render them insensible to the pains of death. He died for me. He died for you. And he endured that agony in the fullest measure. Take just a moment and let's silently think about that. The most moving part of his death are the seven words he spoke from the cross. Listen to his words. Meditate on every word he said. What better way is there to eat this feast than to reflect on what he said while he was on the cross? It was the third hour, and there they crucified him. The two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and the other on the left, and Jesus in the center. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." The Greek says he said it again and again. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Then the soldiers who had crucified Jesus took his garment and made four parts, to each soldier a part. They divided his garments, casting lots to determine whatever man should take, and also the tunic, and that a tunic was without seam, woven from the top in one piece. And they said among themselves, "Let's not tear it, but let's cast lots whose it shall be, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. They divided my garments, and for my clothing they took lots." Then the soldiers did these things. Sitting down, they kept watch over there. Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. They put it over his head, the inscription of his accusation. And there was written these words, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. You know the turmoil that that caused. But Pilate said, "What I have written, I have written." The people saw that. And those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads, saying, "Aha! You who destroyed the temple and built it in 3 days, save yourself. If you're the Son of God, come down from the cross." The chief priest and the rulers, they sneered, mocking among themselves with the scribes and the elders. "He saved himself. He saved others. Let him save himself. Let him save himself if he is the Christ, the chosen of God, if he is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross and then we will believe. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him. For he said, I'm the King of the Jews. Save yourself." The robbers were crucified. And he turned into one of the robbers, the one who had said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." He said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." And the third word he said was when he saw his mother and John standing beside his mother, when he said, "Woman, behold thy son. And son, behold thy mother." 3 hours had passed. There were still 3 more hours which lay before him. And so from the 6th hour until the 9th hour, there was darkness. The sun was darkened. And at the 9th hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani." That is being interpreted, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Some of those who stood by mockingly said, "He's calling for Elijah." After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were accomplished, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, said, "I thirst." So when Jesus cries out with a loud voice, he says, "It is finished." "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Having said this, he bowed his head and yielded up his spirit to God.